the rest of the story. What in the world are you going to do with a carload of defective toilet paper? And I mean a railroad carload. Well, let me tell you what Arthur did with one. 1896, Arthur White was fresh out of college, ready to set the world on fire. The family business belonged to his father and his uncle. It was a manufacturing company, and the product was toilet paper. Nobody remembers precisely what young Arthur found so intriguing about toilet tissue as a career. Of course, the family firm was successful, and an executive position was accessible. Also, Arthur had an idea which he believed would double the corporate revenues in no time. The company was offering too many brands of toilet paper, Arthur said. Why not discontinue all but a few of those brand names, the ones which possessed the greatest marketing potential? Arthur had not been with the firm too long before he began ruffling the feathers of his more established associates. It had taken almost 20 years to turn nothing into a thriving enterprise. Now the founder's son was proposing to tamper with a profitable formula. But Arthur hung in there. He kept preaching his point, and eventually he won over his skeptical fellow executives. By 1898, the company had outgrown its facilities, so it was decided that a new converting plant would be built at 7th Street and Glenwood Avenue in Philadelphia. The plant opened on July 21, 1899, and burned down the same day. It was not until the first January of the new century that the plant was once again ready to go into production. One of the company's brands was particularly responsible for the increased business. It was called Waldorf Tissue. Waldorf was Arthur's pet project. Wherever he could, he sought new markets for it. However he could, he attempted to improve the product's quality. In fact, it was during one such attempt to improve quality that he got more than he'd bargained for. It was 1907. Arthur had heard of a paper manufacturer who had developed a new kind of tissue, a high-grade crepe tissue, crinkly but soft. Arthur purchased several rolls of the new tissue, passed them out among the technical staff. The initial experiments were encouraging, so Arthur purchased two railroad car loads of the stuff, which was then cut into toilet paper rolls. Arthur was ecstatic over the new material. He ordered and received a third shipment, a third railroad car load, but this batch was bad. Arthur found himself in possession of who knows how many tons of toilet tissue, which was simply too thick to be cut into rolls. Well, the world has long forgotten Waldorf toilet paper. And we've long forgotten snow tissue and sani tissue and organdy and another one called bona fide and one called foldum and all of the other fancy brand names which Arthur boosted during his day. But you do remember the result of his resourcefulness when he took that carload of tissue that was too thick and turned it into a profit. You see, what he did was to reset some of the factory machinery. And then he took that extra heavy crepe paper and made some extra large rolls, and he perforated those into sheets 13 by 18 inches. The young TP tycoon, the tissue paper tycoon whose family business became an American institution, was Arthur Hoyt Scott. If you ever wondered about the birthday of the paper towel, it was the Scott paper towel. And now you know the rest of the story.